A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 31. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
It's our pleasure to host Brenda Matthews this week for Spiritual Life Week across campus. And Brenda, affectionately known as Mama Brenda, hails from Chicago, Illinois. She's an ordained minister, social activist, poet, pregnant with purpose. She seeks to plant seeds of change in the hearts of those who have fallen through the cracks. She's traveled throughout the United States and the African continent to deliver this message. Here's what Mama Brenda says about herself. "I want to travel the world and speak into the hearts of young people. I'm passionate about life and determined to make a difference in this world. My life is dedicated to kingdom building and world changing." And it's her sense, and many of us who've known her over the years and more recently, I think, agree. She says, "I've been chosen by God for such a time as this." We welcome you, and we look forward to receiving God's word through you this day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The gentleman that taken me to Eastern Mennonite Middle School this morning, on the way back, he said, "You know, Brenda," he said, "Mennonites are very nice people, hospitable people, quiet, laid-back people," he said. We're not used to being talked to like you talk to us. So forgive me for my loudness if I get a little loud. I don't intend to offend anybody, but I'm from the streets of Chicago, so I have a loud voice, but it's not intended to hurt anybody's feelings or offend them. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to talk about this passage of scripture. Just let me read it, this little part. "Then Peter called unto him, 'Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?'" This passage of scripture is so powerful to me, and it's so powerful even just talking to these are seminarian students in here. And so I'm excited about sharing this passage with you. Peter decides that he wanted to follow Jesus. Peter let go of his fear and decided to take a risk. Instead of being grounded in fear, pass or fail, successful or unsuccessful, Peter risked it all to follow Christ. Peter was described as bold and impulsive. It was a bold move to jump out of the boat and into the storm. What's interesting about this passage, Jesus invited Peter into a storm. I've never heard ministry described as a storm before, but truly, ministry can be a storm. And so he said, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Peter wanted desperately to walk on the water like Jesus and by any means necessary. If that meant jumping out of the boat and into the storm, then it was a risk he was willing to take. Peter stepped out of his fear. He released all of his inhibition. No longer paralyzed, he risked it all to follow Christ. Risking it all to follow him. That's a powerful thing. He risked it all. In that moment, he allowed his faith to undergird his belief. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Peter jumped knowing whatever was about to happen, Jesus would save him, take care of him, and work it out for him. As men and women of God, we must be confident no matter what happens while operating in ministry, God will see us through. There will be difficult times, times of frustration, times of heartache, times of depression, times of loneliness. Who'd have thought all of those elements would be in ministry? But when you risk all, when you give your life to Christ, when you decide that you're going to surrender all for him, you personally going to go through some things. When you decided to jump, you jumped not knowing all of the consequences and the costs that came with ministry. Let's think right there. The cost. When you decide to get into ministry, are you aware of the cost? When you get out of that boat, it was like when I was sharing yesterday or day before yesterday. When you jump out of that boat, you better know what you're jumping in. You need to prepare yourself because this thing called ministry is a very, very rocky road. When Peter jumped, never did he ask Jesus, what's going to happen when I jump out of this boat? No, Peter jumped in confidence. Peter jumped in faith. But you need to ask yourself a question. When you jump, are you prepared? Are you prepared to pay the price? Do you know the cost to jump? In the storm, it's costly. Life will be different. Jesus told Peter to come into this storm called ministry. Ministry work, service work, volunteer, a work fulfilled with purpose, a work that impacts a change within the lives of people. When you jump into this world called ministry, are you prepared? How people will at times not appreciate you. How others will label you, how some will talk about you. Ministry work takes special individuals who give up their life to follow Christ. From the pulpit, you will share life-changing messages, giving people hope in times of despair, telling of the greatness of God. Then when you walk out of the doors of that church, your own life a mess. I'm not going to address that. I was recently ordained in April. I know what it is to stand at that pulpit and preach. I know what it means to stand there and encourage people. I know what it is to break that scripture down and make it life applicable. I know what that means. I know what that means to hug people, hug on people, and love on them. I know what it means to pull them to the side with their individual prayer requests. But I also know what it means to walk outside of that church and my own life be a mess. Not working, not having much money, in foreclosure. I'm in foreclosure right now, you know. I'm going through some of the toughest times of my life, but I risked it all for Christ. Because my life doesn't have to be perfect. His life was not perfect. My life is meant to bring change into the lives of those who are seeking him, not to sit around and share my woes. Because the same God I teach people to believe, I got to believe that same God. I got to know he'll see me through. I got to know he'll take care of me. I got to know that he's Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for me. I need to know that he's Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. You hear me? So I know what that means. When you jump out of that boat, when you take that risk, and when you give your life in ministry, and people don't appreciate you, and people talk about you, and nothing you do is ever good enough. But when you took this job for ministry, you also took the cost that came with it. Sometimes ministry can be a thankless job. But we did not get into ministry for the beauty of it or for the, oh, I like this word, for the benefits. What? Yeah. We did not get into it for the benefits. For some of us, we'll never be those preachers that drive, that got jets and we got mansions and, you know, because, you know, we taking it to the street, taking it to the hood, taking it to going down into the bowels of the city where some people don't want to go. We're trying to reach a segment of population people don't care about. And we're coming with the whole armor of God to love on those who have slipped through the cracks of society, to make the word of God life applicable so that it can impact people's lives. That's what our job is. So you won't see me in no one of those, you know, how these big hats and fine suits and $300 shoes. No, you'll see me in my gym shoes and in some jeans going down to the hood to make a difference in somebody's life. Going to speak life into some sister who's a victim of domestic violence, or going to sit down with the brothers who are in gangs, or going to see a brother who life is filled with drugs and alcohol. That's where I'm going. And I want them to know Christ will meet you where you are. That's what I love, is that we have the blessed ability. We've been blessed with the opportunity to go to where the people of God are those who don't know him, and say, listen, God will meet you right where you are. He will love you right where you are. So I say to you, yes, jump. Come on into these choppy waters. Let go of all your inhibitions. Yes, I say, come on and get in. Is it worth it to jump? Yes. My question is, can you pay the cost? Are you ready? Are you ready? Then come on and jump. Peter risked it all for Christ. And even when he began to sink, Jesus reached out and grabbed him right where he was. In ministry, sometimes you will sink. There's a song that says, there is no failure in God. The song says, he will never fail you. Catch you when you fall. He'll heal you when you call. Catch you when you fall. Just have faith. He'll be right there. There is no failure in God. Peter sank only when he took his eyes off Christ. As long as we keep our eyes on him, there is nothing too hard for God. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for commitment. As ministers of the gospel, we have the opportunity to create safe spaces for dialogue,
to create safe spaces where people could hear the word of God and not be cut up. Sometimes the sermon time is a time where preachers like to beat people up with the word. Like I said last night, Jesus was a man who created dialogue. It is time for dialogue. It is time to sit and talk with people where they are. To not point the finger, to not sit in the judgment seat of judgment, but to create dialogue within community. It is time to place value on people's lives and not us determine what we think they should and ought to do. Our job is to use the word of God as a way to make it life applicable so that people can know how to live their lives through this thing called the gospel. That's our job. I heard this preacher say this little phrase. He says, it's time to stop homiletic homicide. Dr. Brad Braxton said that. Time to stop homiletic homicide. We are still living in a time of this. I'll say it again, I've been repetitious, but sometimes I'm trying to get my point across. Maybe you didn't hear it. But it's still racism, still sexism, still homophobia. We got all of these isms and craziness. We still have domestic violence, and we still have issues of poverty. We still have people who don't have proper health care. We still have people who are falling through the cracks of society. We still have a government who says you're superfluous. We still have issues, and it is up to a people of God like ourselves to reach out to the people and speak life to them. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to speak life. Jesus said that he didn't come for the well, he came for the sick. How many of you are ready to minister to the sick? How many of you are truly ready to pay the cost of presenting this thing called the gospel to humanity? How many of you are ready to go forward and not be seated in a judgment seat, but to love the people where they are, like Jesus did? My favorite story is the story of the leper who walked up on Jesus and said, if you want to, you can heal me. Jesus didn't say, oh no, get away from me, brother, you a leper, come on, I'm a rabbi, come on, back up off of me. No, Jesus said, I want to heal you. It's time to break tradition. It's time to break legalism. It's time to have the courage to jump out of the boat, to jump into the water, and to walk on water like Jesus did, not sinking, because we're going to keep our eyes on him. Because as long as we keep our eyes on him, we will not sink. Seminarians, let me say to you, you have the opportunity to reshape minds. You have the opportunity to impact lives greater than we've ever seen before. You have the opportunity to be revolutionary seminarians who are warriors, armed with the word, with the power of the word of God, to go out and shake up systems that don't work no more. You have been empowered to do the work that Jesus did. You have been empowered. You have the opportunity to love on people who others don't want to bother with. You are people who have the time to sit down and dialogue and create safe spaces and not cut people down simply because they're preachers. I said to you, are you ready? I said to you, are you prepared? says to you, "Are you ready to pay the cost?" And this is the close of this day. You know, at 50 years old, I thought my life would be different. You know, I thought my bills would be paid, and house, and grandchildren, and you know, traveling the world. I had this vision of what 50 years old would be like. Instead, I'm foreclosure. I'm struggling. I make it from day to day. But you know what? I have the power of knowing that God has empowered me to touch the lives of others, that they may see His glory and know the wonders of His word. And He gave me an opportunity to do that even though my life is a mess. So I glory in Him. I don't want nobody to feel sorry for me because I'm doing the work of a kingdom. I paid the cost for Him. Will this be like this always? No, but for the time being, it is. And the song says, it is well with my soul. It is well. So let me encourage you. Go forward. Do the work of a kingdom builder. Shape and impact lives. Get rid of systems that do not work anymore. Use the word of God to plant seeds of change, to plant seeds of hope into the lives of those who don't know Him. I say to you, be revolutionary ministers who don't let nothing hold you back. And I pray that you will stand toe to toe with anybody who want to come against you with what you have to preach to a world who is dying. But you know, everybody not gonna like what you preach. You need to understand that, don't you? Some people don't want you to stay old past. But I say to you, it's a new time. It's a new day. And thank God that you were chosen for a time like this to build a kingdom and get it done.
Right where you are and proclaiming the